it's Tuesday, August 6th, and this is a weird episode because we're also streaming it live.
We are streaming it live to Twitch, so sorry and or you're welcome. It's weird. Usually we do this, like patrons get it first, but all of our Twitch people are also getting it first this one time because scheduling problems this week. So plus also I'm dying, so I may not even make it to the end. We'll see.
That's why he's wearing the mask. Ryan, why don't you tell everybody what you've gone through this weekend, or had gone through this
weekend. We've all had a terrible weekend.
Well, last night, actually, I guess it was about 4 o'clock. I was like, the house feels warm. And that's when I discovered that the compressor has died on my AC unit. And you can't get someone to fix that on the weekend unless you pay them $200 extra. Mm. Around 7 o'clock is when I realized I was getting sick.
Oh.
So I haven't slept. And it's 87 degrees in my house right now.
Are you getting sick with the thing that I have?
I'm not a medical doctor, but I think the 2 hours you spent coughing on me Friday is real high on the possibility.
It's going to be really bad.
Stay away from me.
I think Krista's absenteeism is the only thing that saved her from coughing down the aisle.
Yeah. Avoid me. I'm going to take some vitamins when I get out of here.
If you go to Instant Care, they have a really amazing antiviral you can get. But also, while I was there, I learned that they have a new thing for kidney stones that might be cool. I don't know.
No, oh, 2-for-1 deal.
We have a kidney story this week in the news.
That's crazy.
Can you be too sick for your own wedding? I went to my friend's wedding super sick, and I was the maid of honor. Anyway.
Burnt.
Well, speaking of things that are dangerous and irresponsible, let's talk about the FCC.
FCC finally orders ISPs to say exactly where they offer broadband. And when they say exact, it means they want GPS polygons of where they offer service. See, previously, if they serviced one house in a census district, they could count the entire district as being serviced.
Even if it was literally just one.
Even if it was just one house. Or they could also count districts that they could theoretically service
easily
if someone paid to run infrastructure in that area, even if it was tens of thousands of dollars. They're changing that, but they didn't put a date on it, which tells me that it's going to be way after Ajit Pai's office.
It seems like a positive story, though. Like reading it, I was like, "Wow, this is kind of cool." And then I read the comments, and everyone was like, "Here's how this loophole could be exploited." And I was like, "Oh,
yeah."
Well, they another thing that the FCC dreamers thought would be good is like, "Hey, while we're doing this, let's also map pricing because we want to see." We're giving you all this broadband rural money. Let's see how you're charging the rural customers. You know, is that actually applying to anything? And the ISPs got really involved at that point, so we're not doing that anymore.
No.
And, well, there was another caveat.
They still can charge a construction fee or a build-out fee, but not as much.
Oh, it can't be more than a regular service call.
Yeah.
So they're going to raise the prices on the regular service calls, probably.
Then you get the service call insurance so that you don't have to have, you know, it's like, well, you didn't have the $5 a month service call. It's going to be $2,000 to come out and fix where the squirrel chewed through the line.
I mean, or someone shot at the squirrel and
destroyed
the line.
Could
whichever.
Be worse.
But you are correct, Krista. I think this is, on the whole, a positive story.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Which is weird for like an intro story to the news.
Oh, listen, you start with FCC, either side of the blade. Them's the rules.
It's a little bit blue sky, though, because there's no... It's not like, this is what we need to do, and we're going to do it by this day. But this day is multiple years in the future, at minimum.
Now, we haven't sorted the stories today.
No, it's just a mess.
Because, quite frankly, I don't care. I'm at the very limit of caring about anything. You know, I had the call of void driving here. I thought, what if we see if it really does 184? Maybe I don't believe it.
You've been in 90-degree heat all weekend.
Oh, my God. And so I've always wanted my cats to be a little less rambunctious. Well, crank the heat up to 90. They get real lazy real quick. But Toast wants to cuddle more than ever.
Oh,
so
he's so hot
right
and furry.
On top of me. I didn't have the heart to push him off, but that was uncomfortable. So the reason that I mention that is because this story has nothing to do with anything, but we're going right into it. This is just potpourri this week. And we're going to talk about facial recognition. Now, we have another facial recognition story. Who knows where it's going to be?
It's a surprise.
But this one is, it's funny how the government, when they want to push something through, one of the things they always come back to is think of the children. We must protect the children, right? At all times. That's, you have to do it. Unless you're the NYPD.
She was arrested at 14. Then her photo went to a facial recognition database. With little oversight, the NYPD has been using powerful surveillance technology on photos of children and teenagers. There's a lot of problems with this. One of which is, as children age, their face changes. And so it can generate a lot of false positives to have child faces in there because the how they look changes. I mean, that's like, how do you not know
that?
Well,
and the way that these things were trained, like the algorithms and stuff, like they weren't trained on child faces, so they're not very good at it anyway. Also, I think they said the youngest kid in this database was, what, 11?
Yeah.
But it is, maybe it makes it a little bit better. These are only children who have committed felonies. So
they've been accused of felonies or convicted of felonies.
Yeah. I guess it's the arrest, right? So, yeah, you could get some more false positives that way. I'm sure they don't go through and scrub.
No.
So the NYPD is doggedly defending this. They're not saying, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. We shouldn't do that. They're like, no, this works really well. We're going to keep doing it. No.
There's a lot of stories about facial recognition this week that are basically that.
Maybe you don't want to rear your children in New York. Now, this... I chose, this is government. Yeah, I chose to put this one in government rather than social media because it's really about the FTC. Of course, we know that the FTC just gave that big, juicy $5 billion fine that Mark Zuckerberg basically wrote and signed and put a happy little face on it.
Memo is just a happy face.
The U and Zuckerberg, you put the little eyes on it.
So it looks like a smiley face.
I'm so happy about this. Well, it turns out... maybe the FCC isn't quite as toothless as we thought, because they are coming right back to the table.
The FTC antitrust probe of Facebook is starting to scrutinize its acquisitions. So it's looking at, you know, those places where Facebook bought stuff, like, oh, I don't know, WhatsApp? It's like, wait.
Instagram.
Were those people going to compete with Facebook? Oh, if they bought a competitor, oh, that might be an antitrust.
They also mentioned Anavo, which they purchased to spy on people to see what other apps they were using to go buy those apps.
Yeah.
And we know they did that, which does seem a little antitrusty.
It's funny because they're like, we're examining to see if this is actually happening. It's like, I feel like that's kind of open and shut. Like, do you really need to examine it for more than 3 seconds to realize what's going on there?
I'm pretty sure next week's story is going to be the Facebook says that, hey, bro, we just settled with you guys. You're not, you know.
Party foul, man.
Yeah.
Bruh, I put a smiley face on my U.
Yeah. So, well, you wonder, is the next negotiation going to look kind of like that last one?
Yeah.
And they're going to be happy just because $5 billion for a government agency. That's a pretty big win.
But it's a pocket change for Mr. Zuckerberg.
Hey, here's that facial ID story.
Hey.
Oh, look at that.
You never know when it's coming. But here it is. And this one's about California. So, actually, we see sort of two forks of the image recognition and stuff. Like, some cities are outright banning it, while cities that don't, law enforcement is just running with it. And this is the example of the latter.
California police are sharing facial recognition databases to ID suspects. New email reveals how private technology company is working to change law enforcement as we know it. So basically, the more law enforcement agencies sign with this one company, the more is in that one company's database, the more powerful that database is for tracking down suspects.
And they're interconnected.
Yeah.
They're confirmed.
Yeah.
They also claim to have a slightly different setup than others. So, like, ours is more accurate, but they don't say how.
Now, as taxpayers, are we not funding this? Because the police departments are buying this with taxpayer money. How is this different from China's social credit scoring system, which is just a database of basically anybody?
I don't know if there's federal tax money going to that. There might be.
State tax money.
Yeah, I think it's state tax, yeah.
But it's interesting because, like you say, it's also a little bit anti-competitive, right? Yeah. Because this company, I think they got LA County first, and LA County has a massive number of people. So if you sign up with a competitor, you don't get to hit that database.
Yeah.
You're going to have this little crappy database over here. Meanwhile, the more they gobble up and assimilate, the more their power grows and the less that future buyers can go against them.
What could possibly go wrong?
Got to start putting the kids in. Get those numbers up.
Well, you can put the kids in for two reasons. One, to get the numbers up, but two, to acclimate the kids to being used to that. It's like, I'm walking down the street. We noticed you're not in our surveillance database. I'm just walking beside you to capture your likeness for our database. It's cool. I mean, beat cops with body cameras. How long until that's happening? Because you're in a public place. you can be recorded in a public place.
Also driver's licenses, as we learned last week.
Yeah.
So remember that time that Cisco was releasing security bulletin after security bulletin because they were like, wait, we acquired a ton of these companies. We haven't really audited their security at all. We should look at that. And then they pulled back the cover and then just like smoke and flames leapt out. So it turns out that during that time, they probably knew about a lot of those things before they let on. But maybe more damning, they continued to sell them. And they continued to sell them to places that you may have thought twice about doing so.
Cisco has been ordered to pay $8.6 million fine for selling hackable surveillance technology. This is like camera systems and stuff like that. I don't really think this is a significant amount of money. And when they describe the vulnerability as like the back doors, if you search and replace Cisco for Huawei, it sounds the same.
Yeah, but Huawei is foreign, so they're bad. Don't you understand, Wendell?
I'm just saying.
Let's just try to roll these off. I'll try to do them quickly in order of severity. Federal agencies, okay. State governments, well, that's kind of important. Schools, hey, once again, got to protect the kids, right? Oh, but here's a big one. Airports.
Yeah.
Hospitals. Mm. Oh. Yeah, you can see how some bad things could happen.
Well, listen, if you're a spook, you need to be able to track the suspect through the airport and the hospital. They're probably going to get wounded. They're going to go to a hospital. And, you know, little Timmy was playing with a shotgun is how he got the bullet wound. We need to be able to just tap into the hospital surveillance system.
Playing with a shotgun. As checking in through the TSA. Oh, once again, a perfect example of if we had sorted the stories, how they would have gone together so much better.
Yes.
Remember when we talked about cities banning facial recognition?
Another U.S. city moves to ban facial recognition, citing threats to free speech and civil rights. This is Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, I thought we reported on Boston, but this story has a list of...
Massachusetts, another city, had already done it.
They mentioned that Massachusetts has already done it more than once, right?
Yeah.
But they also talked about other cities, and they didn't mention Boston, so I didn't have a chance to go check that.
That's the flu brain, just like...
Yeah, everything's just swirled together.
But yeah, they make the exact same... See, but what bothers me about this is it's not about this is evil and wrong and we shouldn't be doing it. It's the women and children and the minorities. We must protect them. It's like, why? Why don't we just protect everybody? Why don't we just talk about how horrible this is? But no, for whatever reason, we don't do that. But I guess we'll take it.
Either way, I mean, the result is the same, but...
Last week, we talked about the $125 Equifax payout. And it certainly wasn't just us talking about it. That was every post on Reddit and Imgur. I mean, it was just, it blanketed the globe. And all of you that felt like you were doing a really good thing sharing that and getting the word out, you might have been shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, FTC says you will be disappointed if you choose the $125 for the Equifax payout. So many people want the $125. It's going to be a tiny, tiny fraction of the $125. The FTC has actually said it's a better deal to do the credit monitoring.
Which... How rich is that? That they're like, oh, you know, we took your information before because you were trying to monitor your credit. Why don't you just do it again?
It's $31 million, which is less than the number of people affected, right?
Yep.
A lot less.
By a lot. Like,
so
we're talking like a tenth.
If 25% of the people who were affected take the $125, then you're looking at probably getting like $50.
Yeah.
If it's higher than that, it's going to go down even further. There's going to be maintenance fees and disposal fees and transaction fees. It's going to take another quarter.
Yeah.
So you might get $20.
It's amazing. What a great deal for not the people whose information was stolen.
But you might be thinking, hey, well, why don't we just take the money from the stuff the government's going to get, right? Because they're getting a huge chunk and we're just getting this $31
million. No,
we're not doing that.
No, that's... No.
How dare you?
They need that money, Ryan.
Krista, the YouTube wormhole.
Yes.
It's real.
It is real.
I'm on small engine repair right now.
I'm still like deep in the tiny house movement.
Are you having problems with your lawnmower already?
No. Okay. I have no... That's the thing. That's the beauty of the wormhole.
Get sucked in.
I don't know how a guy fixing a lawnmower got into my feed.
Did you get sucked into that just browsing the YouTube recommended?
Yeah.
That's my fault. I'm so sorry. You were probably signed into the level one account. See, I was looking for small engine repair because I was working on a weed eater.
Well, this dude, I can't remember the channel's name. I wish I could plug him.
I've infected you and your feet.
Because he's incredible. And it's always the carburetor. It's like House. You know how like it was always the one disease.
Legionnaires or whatever.
It's always the carburetor when you do small
engine. It's never lupus, though.
So I personally love the autoplay videos, but apparently some people think that they are evil and addictive.
I think this might be a different type of autoplay.
No, this is YouTube. Okay. They mention it specifically.
I thought they were thinking Facebook. Anyway, new bill would ban autoplay videos and endless scrolling, taking aim at features that are designed to be addictive.
I think autoplay videos, I mean, some of the larger channels I've noticed, because, like, sometimes I'll watch a Linus Tech Tips video, and then I leave my computer, and I come back, like, 8 hours later, and it's still playing videos, and it's like, that's weird. Whereas, if I'm watching 24 hours of the Star Trek Enterprise engine noise, about every 4 hours, it's like, are you still watching?
Yeah, well... it certainly could. I mean, I could see how if you were on a mobile data plan and you accidentally left that running,
yeah,
that could be bad. But I don't hate it. One thing it kind of annoys me, I like to have that on because I tend to watch a lot of videos that come in chunks and I'd like it to roll on the next one. But then if you fall asleep, that's annoying because then you don't know where you left
off. Where you stopped, yeah.
But in terms of addictive,
no.
I mean, I'm sure it is. I'm not going to say it's not addictive, right? Because then people are going to re-out. But I think it's the same. I'm really tired of hearing these arguments about loot boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, loot boxes are terrible. No one loves them. We all hate them. Krista hoards them, and it drives people crazy.
I don't... Well, because I just don't care anymore. I get them through playing
the
game. I
know, but every time the Twitch stream sees that, they freak out. They're like, oh, my God, open those loot boxes. So there is something in a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say our channel and stream are weighted toward that kind of person. But they are.
A little bit.
And
it's a surprise mechanic. Surprise.
It's the completionist kind of person, I think, who wants to make sure all their loot boxes are open.
But to say that something shouldn't be available to anyone because someone with an addictive personality has problems with it, come on.
And as far as things to be addicted to go, this is not on the level of, like, Pfizer and oxycodone and crap like that.
I do find endless scrolling annoying on social media, but, like,
well, here,
it's really from a usability standpoint, because it's like, I want to see posts from, like, this day, and it
apparently,
can be a little hard to do that.
I think that one was aimed at Snapchat or Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, when if you look at thoughts a lot, there's literally no end to the thoughts, and some people just sit and just never stop looking at them and lusting for them.
We have a story about thoughtery later. In the nonsense section, which isn't a nonsense section today, so.
No, it's still roughly a nonsense section.
Oh, man,
section.
This story reminded me of another story, which is... I'll wait for the Capital One story. The Capital One story should have come after this one.
We had reports a few weeks ago of some people in certain countries just like, my GitHub, I can't get in.
Oh.
And I work on this important open source project, what's going on? And now GitHub has confirmed what everybody already knew.
GitHub confirms it has blocked developers in Iran, Syria, and Crimea. So before, they could, you know, if you're in Iran and you're an open source developer, it's cool. We'll take your open source contributions. Now it's like, no, bro. We don't.
What did Crimea do?
Probably something really bad.
Got invaded by Russia. Like, I don't...
Somebody in the chat or the comments is going to be like, I fled from there. I'm now a refugee living in somewhere. It's at the level of horrible that you can't possibly imagine. And that's probably true.
Doesn't Saudi Arabia do that stuff?
Yeah.
They seem to still have GitHub access.
We don't talk about that.
Sorry. Oh, it hurts to laugh. Oh.
I got some Robitussin in my office if you want.
Ooh, you guys can robo trip through the news.
Good, I'll just drink it. Just do shots. So, remember James Comey? Now, we didn't talk a lot about James Comey. When all that was going on, I tried to dodge the Trump stuff. Because there's no pleasing anybody. And it's rarely really related to technology. Once in a while, Trump will do something stupid on Twitter. We'll cover that. But this is important to cover in terms of technology because it's... Twitter etiquette in the world of big government.
This is a whole disaster.
Former FBI Director James Comey responds to reports of watchdog probe. At me next time, bro. They shortened it for the headline.
They did.
What he actually said was at me next time, bro. So
should be at me.
They tweeted something like, you know, Comey might be brought up on charges for leaking classified information. And so he's like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm confident that, you know, everything that we did was in taxpayer interest and above board. And I think they actually said that the investigation concluded that justice was not going to file charges. And so, and they didn't add him on Twitter, even though they posted on Twitter. So he's like, yeah, I replied. It's cool. Which is kind of, I mean, that's pretty cool.
And then didn't someone else reply back? Like, it was very strange. Like, what a weird time to be in.
He wanted that attention.
Yeah.
Which, not really something that you would want attention for.
He's going to be so wealthy, though, going on, like, just the talk show circuit. Like, if he can just keep the controversy up, he doesn't have to find a real job anymore.
Do they pay people to go on talk shows?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We don't pay our guests.
No.
Sorry.
And he could write a book?
Yeah.
And he could take...
Oh, yeah, writing a book.
I think he already did write a book, as a matter of fact.
He could take international speaking tours. Obama's making a ton of money. Doing
all the presidents
speaking.
Do that.
Isn't
though.
It like a million per speaking engagement, you
know,
at this point?
You know who's not making any money doing that anymore? Hillary Clinton. Yeah, that spigot ran dry. Yeah, too bad. Too bad. Well, in Europe, they've been bringing the hammer down on the tech companies. We all know about that. And they're throwing around fines and making new rules. One thing they really seem to care a lot about is that default search engine. Now, the world has seen the default search engine battle before.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, it is a big thing because most people don't have any concept that there is a default search engine because you can't change it right now. But Europe says, no, that's not enough. It's got to be part of the setup. And how do you get on that list? Well, Google's going to tell you.
Google opens an auction for the default Android search engine in Europe. Now, this article actually has a lot of information available. There are actually several different avenues that carriers have for integrating Android. But basically, Google is not going to have the choice as to what search engine you integrate with. But a carrier can choose to partner with somebody else and set their search engine as the default. But Google will require a license fee in order to do that.
Now, which carrier would have, or which search engine would have the most money to make those deals with the carriers?
Yeah. For the default version of Android, you'll be able to pick your search engine, but the slots that are there are going to be an auction process. So that's what the headline is talking about.
It's a negative auction. So you're actually trying to lowball the fee that you're going to pay to Google, or Google's trying to lowball you on your fee. So they want the most. Actually, I said that backwards, didn't I? Anyway, you pay Google, and Google wants the people that are going to pay the most to get their thing in there. So it's like an AdWords bid.
And Google's automatically going to pay, like Google, the search engine company, is automatically going to pay Google, the European company, whatever the maximum bid is for their spot for the Google search engine, which is going to be a drop in the bucket, and who cares?
Man, those Russian click farms.
One of the things they mentioned in this article, too, was wasn't there like... I can't remember which one it was. There's like an eco-friendly where like with any extra revenue they have, they plant trees. And they're like, if we have to do this, like half of our revenue is going to go to just like paying Google, which defeats the purpose of doing it this way.
I thought it was sort of a fun way to like, I mean, it, like I had the same thought reading this. It was like the EU is trying to open up competition, but, and Google is like, this is the most capitalistic thing that you could possibly do. It is.
It was like, how can we spin this to make it better for us?
We've literally designed a market economy around the default search engine. And we're going to, you know, the highest bidder wins. There's nothing more capitalistic than this thing that they've designed. And yet, I can't help but think that this is not what the result that the European Union intended.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how that happens when you try to control the markets. But that won't stop them. So we had a real drought of hardware news this week, and it's hard to get excited about laptop processors. But they're here, and...
Someone will be excited.
They're 10 nanometer.
Oh, my. See, the whole reason that I'm here, like...
was for this story.
It was this, and it's just... I mean, I'm going to try not to drone on for 10 minutes about this, but good Lord. Okay, so the first problem is the names of these processors. There's two processors in each family. There's one family that is... higher power, and there's two processors that are ultra low power, and it's like i7-10 whatever G7 and i5-10 whatever G7, and so like the two high power parts outperform, like the i5 higher power part outperforms the i7 lower power part, but it's not immediately clear that you're buying a laptop with an ultra low power processor or an ultra high power processor. But there is actually some like legit innovation in these processors. It's, they've got AVX 512 with like a bunch of deep learning stuff, and there's new instructions that are available. And they've got the new Gen 11 graphics, which are a big deal because it's almost as fast as like an MX150, which is, or about as fast as an MX150 from NVIDIA. So there's like there's a lot of cool engineering here. But like, okay, the server processors is like Xeon Gold and Xeon Platinum and Xeon Silver. So Intel, you're telling me that you think the people that are buying servers are more stupid than people that are buying laptops. That seems backwards to me. Because nobody's going to know what a 10 whatever G7 is. Literally nobody. Why did you do that?
I think laptop buyers are probably some of the least tech savvy.
Yeah.
Because it's like students and grandmas getting gifts and stuff like that. So they put a nice big red bullet point on it, on the sticker, And you're like, ooh, it's got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should get that.
So. And these don't clock as high as the last generations. They don't perform as well, which is why we're not seeing desktop equivalents of these. They just can't get the clocks up. And they're not really that much more power efficient than the previous generation. Like, at a lower clock speed, they are, but not performance-wise. So things get... performance only really improves when you take into account the new instruction sets and the graphics. So it's a little bit of a weird time for Intel.
We talked about the new iPhones. Was it last week? And I don't think that very many people are excited about the new iPhones.
Certainly, even people who like iPhones.
The excitement levels, if you look at the iPhone 5 years ago, was like the Beatles. And the iPhone right now is like the Backstreet Boys today.
Oh.
So this is not a surprising headline.
Well, New York Times says that Apple reports declining profits and stagnant growth again. And the reason is declining tablet sales. Nobody's buying a phone. And it could not possibly be because phones cost $1,000, right? That has nothing to do with
it. Yeah, the price point. That's totally unrelated. Also, keep reading the Times by creating a free account or logging in.
I didn't read it on the Times. I read it somewhere else. Just go to Google News and type in the keywords.
I read the headline and was like, I kind of get the gist of it. And then
is this all the stories for the entire week or just this episode?
It's the entire week.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have as many this week.
I was freaking out because I was thinking that we were like not even halfway through
one third of the
news. No, it's going to be shorter than usual.
It's going to be a weird episode.
That's good.
It's been a weird summer.
My battery bar is blinking.
Yeah, I can't wait to get home to that 90-degree house.
You can crash on the couch here if you want. I'm sure my mom would want some company. You could stay with her.
You just sleep in the cat bed. So we talked, was it last week or the week before, we talked about DirecTV Now. So DirecTV Now was not the satellite DirecTV. It was an internet streaming DirecTV. And AT&T kept raising the price over and over again. And they went a little too far, and people just fled like from the Titanic. They were fleeing from this thing. So what do you do? Of course, this is AT&T's plan.
The writer of this article is like, bravo, because I read this story, and it was such a delightful read because like everything that I thought would happen basically is happening. So the headline is AT&T kills DirecTV Now brand name as TV subscribers leave in droves.
Read the new brand name, though.
AT&T TV Now.
So,
just rolls off the tongue. But there's good.
The final paragraph is great. So AT&T TV is what we're talking about. No, it's not. AT&T TV is different than AT&T TV Now. And then you've also got HBO. But wait, you've got HBO Go, right?
And Max.
HBO Max. Is that all they've got? No. DirecTV is still the satellite, which is not related to DirecTV Now, which doesn't exist anymore because that's AT&T TV Now.
What about UVerse?
Yeah, we forgot UVerse. That's the mobile one, right? So all of these products, in a world where people are endlessly upset about too many streaming services, AT&T just seems to like keep spinning them off.
Maybe this will work.
I don't think it's going to.
Do you think they ran AT&T TV Now past like any kind of market focus group or...
Also,
Ralph just gave us a ton of stuff.
Also, isn't HBO Plus? They don't even mention that one.
Yeah, they don't. There's a... What was the other... AT&T has another data service as well, but I've forgotten. Oh, it's not UVerse. It's something.
Oh, the mobile one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but they definitely have another one. So,
They're really just sinking that ship, aren't they?
I'm sure they'll bundle that with your mobile streaming plan.
Should we take a break for it to be tomorrow?
Did we switch?
Now we're on DoorDash.
Oh, just based on the number of stories, you mean?
Yeah.